NPR.
In 1969, Michael Huerta was one of the tens of millions of Americans watching the Apollo 11 moon landing on TV. He was a teenager then, and he was transfixed.
Man on the moon.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Almost 50 years later, Michael was at Cape Canaveral for another historic moment. The company SpaceX launched a rocket and successfully landed the booster on a barge off the coast of Florida.
It was one of the most exciting things I've ever seen.
What do you think your teenage self who watched the moon landing on TV would think about their future grown-up self getting to watch a rocket launch in person?
I grew up in inland Southern California in a family that didn't have a lot of money, and I never dreamed that I would have any role to play in that industry.
A role to play. Because Michael wasn't just a curious bystander for the SpaceX launch. At the time, he was the head of the Federal Aviation Administration. And he saw new companies like SpaceX grow into big players that consumed an increasing share of FAA resources.
Now Michael thinks those companies should bear more of the costs of using the country's airspace. And the Biden administration is listening. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Weilin Wong.
And I'm Adrian Ma. Today on the show, we look at how the commercial space sector's somewhat free ride might be ending, and how this change fits into a larger debate over whether human activity in space is a public or private project.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, American Express. Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Greenlight. Want to teach your kids financial literacy? With Greenlight, kids and teens use a debit card of their own, while parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and savings in the app. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/NPR.
One of the main jobs of the Federal Aviation Administration is to manage the country's national airspace system. It's almost 30 million square miles of sky, plus airports and other infrastructure. And every day, big players like commercial airlines, all the way down to recreational pilots, make use of this system.
But there are some newer faces on the block, too. Michael Huerta started to see them when he was at the FAA from 2010 to 2018.
Companies like SpaceX, Blue Origin. We also started to see the development of a drone industry. And then a little later, advanced air mobility, flying cars, air taxis.
Oh, uh-huh. Say what? Did he say flying cars?
Yeah, how did you get to work this morning? You didn't take your flying car?
Are you holding out on the flying car rides?
I'm hoarding them. Well, honestly, those are not a common sight yet, but rocket launches by commercial space companies like SpaceX have become much more frequent. Last year, the FAA licensed 117 launches. That was an all-time high, up from 79 the previous year.
That increased activity means more work for the FAA. The agency has to close off airspace and ensure safe conditions for every commercial space launch. It also coordinates with airlines so they can reroute or reschedule flights that might be affected by the launches.
Over half of the FAA's annual budget comes from something called the Airport and Airway Trust Fund. It was set up back in 1970, and commercial airlines contribute to this trust fund. They pay a 7.5% tax on every domestic passenger ticket, plus other taxes that vary by a flight's destination.
This year, the trust fund is expected to be around $18 billion. And the money pays for things like upkeep of airports, technology upgrades of the air traffic control system, and safety inspections.
And none of the money comes from commercial space companies like Blue Origin and SpaceX. They do not have to pay into this trust fund. Neither do commercial drone operators. But former FAA head Michael Huerta thinks they should start.
Today, you have a structure that is founded largely on airline ticket taxes. You have this group of new users that are paying nothing into the system, that are an increasing share of the operations, and I truly believe the current structure isn't sustainable.
And the Biden administration agrees, at least in principle. The president's recent budget proposal calls for updating the trust fund sources to account for who's actually using the system. And it mentioned that not all users were paying into the fund. Now, the proposal doesn't lay out specific numbers or give a timeline, but it signals that it wants the current funding structure to change.
The administration's budget cites a recent independent review of the national airspace system. Michael led the team that conducted the review, and one of the group's recommendations was to commission a special review to present funding ideas to Congress.
We want a safe air traffic system. We want a technologically advanced air traffic system. But at the end of the day, we have to answer the question of how are we going to pay for it. I don't have a problem with some users of the system might pay more and others might pay less. But I do feel that everyone should pay something.
The government has not required commercial space companies to pay into the trust fund because the industry for a while was seen as nascent. Michael says the thinking was that a light regulatory touch would help this sector grow.
Now the question is whether the industry has grown up enough that it can start chipping in. You know, it's like when you were a baby, you weren't expected to do chores around the house. But when you get a little older, you can start setting the table or like putting away your toys.
Matthew Weinzierl is an economist at Harvard Business School who studies the economics of space. And he says the rationale for taxing commercial space companies comes from a pretty old concept in economics.
If you're benefiting from what the government does, you should help pay for it. And I think this is a classic instance of that, where the idea is that these space companies, they want their sector to grow, they want it to be safe and sustainable. They should want, in some sense, to support the services that make that possible that come from the state, and this is a way to do that directly.
Matthew points out that for decades, developing an industry around space was very much a public project. The U.S. government was interested in scientific exploration and national defense. And the thinking was market forces alone would not be enough to build up this industry because of its high costs and all the risks involved. So the government had to provide the support.
Today, the action is happening more at the private level. SpaceX provides internet service around the world through its Starlink satellites, and the company is deeply entwined with U.S. military and intelligence agencies through government contracts. Blue Origin, owned by Jeff Bezos, has its own government contracts, including with NASA.
But does all this activity mean that the commercial space companies are ready to start paying taxes like the airlines? The industry says no. We reached out to the Commercial Space Flight Federation, which is this group whose members include SpaceX and Blue Origin. And the president of the federation said in a statement that, look, aviation and space, these industries are fundamentally different in terms of their operations, their scale, and also how they use national airspace.
For example, there were just over 100 commercial space missions last year versus 16 million traditional flights. Because of this disparity, the Federation said that it would not be appropriate to have commercial space companies pay into the trust fund right now.
Economist Matthew Weinzierl notes a lot of these companies aren't making a profit yet. That's another argument in favor of holding off taxing the industry, especially an industry that's deemed vital to scientific research, defense, and other national priorities.
There's a belief among many in the sector that there are real commercial opportunities to really solve some of the biggest problems we have here on Earth, whether it's climate change or other things, through the use of space technologies. And so the last thing people will then say that we should be doing is discouraging growth by taxing and therefore raising the costs of launch.
That said, Matt thinks it's reasonable to have the commercial space companies chip into the FAA trust fund. He says the government could also perhaps increase subsidies and support for the industry in other ways to make sure that the increased taxes don't put a damper on growth.
Meanwhile, the Biden administration is requesting $57 million to fund the FAA office that handles licensing for commercial space launches. That's up significantly from the $38 million the office got in 2023. And that big jump in funding is something that the commercial space industry says it does support.
This episode was produced and fact-checked by Cooper Katz-McKim with engineering by Neil Rauch. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
On this week's episode of Wildcard, actor Chris Pine tells us it's okay not to be perfect.
My film got absolutely decimated when it premiered, which brings up for me one of my primary triggers or whatever is like not being liked.
I'm Rachel Martin. Chris Pine on how to find joy in imperfection. That's on NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, the game where cards control the conversation.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.